Hello, assalamu alaikum everybody. Hope you're all safe, sound and healthy, and I'm back. Why? Because a lot of things are going on and people are probably wondering that why am I not talking about them? First of all, everybody's talking about them, so I feel like, you know, it's sort of like repeating, you know, oneself over and over again because we have to, but then we find ourselves obliged to repeat every single fact over and over again because for two main reasons. One, obviously, obviously, everybody has, you know, memory issues and why not? So many things are going on, you know, how many things are we going to remember? First of all, you know, it's a sort of like a gentle reminder for all those who want to recap within the episode, you know, within the podcast. And then also there are many who have missed previous podcasts. So, you know, repetition of certain information becomes the norm. But okay, once again, I'm obliged to nudge a gentle reminder here once again, because so that we can begin from there, because right now, you know, sorry, as usual, the minute I start, that's when my throat has to act up. Hold on a bit. Right. So the thing is that right now everybody's talking about how the Minister of Defense, Khwaja Asif, who, mind you, is a fake Minister of Defense, fake because he was put there, he was selected and put there. He lost against the PTI candidate, but the PTI candidate was moved to the side and the mandate was stolen. Remember, this whole government is fake. No position in the federal government or in the Punjab government is real. Okay, they're all selected, they're all fake, they're all placed there by, you know, the dawn of the global mafia, United States of America, via the army chief. Again, okay, this is why I'm being very sarcastic. Suddenly people are saying, oh, you know, how could Khwaja Asif, who is the selected Minister of Defense, the man who doesn't even know how to talk, the man who has already offended a lot of women, the man who has made a very, very, I wouldn't even calling them chauvinistic remarks is being kind. He has made very vulgar remarks against women. He has made many vulgar remarks against other people in general. He is somebody who has no right to even be a politician. But as we know, PMLN is basically a party, a group of thugs. Thugs, smugglers, gangsters, criminals, like PPP. Except that, again, remember the original PPP members were all elites where education is concerned, not family background necessarily, but they were elites in their own field, you know. But the general PPP populace right now is, you know, all made up of, again, criminals, smugglers, gangsters and all. Look at Mohsin Reza Gilani, you know, he is a convicted criminal and here he is in the government. His sons are, you know, they are human and sex traffickers, you know, and nothing's being done against them either. So the point here is that now when people are saying, oh, look, Khwaja Asif has shocked the nation, he has rocked the nation, you know, he's talking about how he was threatened and how he is now in turn threatening, you know, the army or certain people in the army, that how dare they dictate to him, I mean, again, how to run the country and all. Again, you know, if you had such a conscience, you wouldn't be sitting on a stolen seat. You wouldn't have stolen our mandate, you know. You knew exactly what you were getting into. Okay, you guys arranged the whole thing with America. You guys planned the whole thing with America. You were paid by America. And you were the ones who illegally made a retired army officer a chief of army staff, just so that you could, you know, use him as a puppet and that he could, you know, accommodate your every wish. Okay, and now suddenly, just because, you know, you're not getting exactly everything that you want and you've had to make a few compromises, so suddenly now you've become patriots and you're talking about who dares talk to us and who dares dictate us. Yeah, shove it up where the sun don't shine. Okay, yeah, because I for one am not going to go for this BS, this drama, because the PMLN is famous. They're notorious for this drama. They have always come, you know, riding on the coattails of the army, and then whenever they become, you know, part of the government, whenever they seize the government, and it's always illegally, then, you know, it's always a ghas'a, the army. And then, you know, then they suddenly remember patriotism and they remember that who dares dictate us. And come on, you're slaves. You'll always be slaves. Your puppets will always be puppets. Don't try to, you know, act as if you are sincere or that you have a conscience. Again, I would remind you, if you had a conscience, you wouldn't empty our reserves. You wouldn't empty our treasury. Within the first week, as soon as you came, as soon as you ousted Imran Khan, and you came illegally as PDM Part 1, the first things that you did at the behest of the American establishment was empty Pakistan's reserves, empty the treasury. And how did you do that? Spending it on yourselves. No, you didn't even bother to spend it on the country. No, you took all that money, you spent it on yourselves. Even now, look at Maryam Nawaz. In what capacity and on what basis could she think that she could use borrowed money, money that is borrowed from the IMF? How dare she use that money on conditioning her car? You know? I mean, how dare she spend 2 billion plus on her car, you know, on changing the on the protection of her car seats, on adding tapestry, on adding, you know, all the interiors, I mean, and on her tires, and I mean, on just basically reconditioning the superficial appearance of her car. How dare she spend all that money? Whose money was it? How dare she spend it? Why is nobody asking that? You know, why is the government not taking notice of that? Her father, in what capacity was he chairing the Punjab committee? He's not in the government. Even though he came to Pakistan because he was given this promise that he would be the prime minister, he didn't even get ministership because, you know, his loss was so miserable that even if they tried to, they couldn't have just forced him on us. So what is he doing? He's sitting, chairing the committee in the Punjab Assembly. In what capacity? Is it in the same capacity that his daughter had been using government protocols when she was not even in the government? And is it in that same capacity that Maryam Nawaz, you know, gave orders to murder journalists and to assassinate other people, you know, when she had nothing to do with the government? Is it that same position, that same capacity that we're after here? You know, because I'd like to know, right? I mean, seriously, let us remind you that in Imran Khan's time, in less than 3 years, he had managed to create a growth, an economical growth in every single sector imaginable in Pakistan, okay? In Imran Khan's time, we had $17 billion in reserves. From a whopping minus, we had $17 billion in reserves. Small businesses were emerging. He was giving business loans to young people. He had youth schemes. He had projects. He had loans for even other people who were not necessarily youth. You know, anybody wanting to start a legitimate business. He took care of small businesses. The emergence of small businesses in Pakistan, the rapid emergence, you know, that was seen in those 3 years. Okay? Pakistan was leading once again towards a progressive economy. Now, remember, I just said, and I've said it previously, that within one week, Shehbaz Sharif, as acting prime minister, with his PDM coalition illegal government, emptied the reserves within 1 week, which they used that money over and over again on themselves, right? And on their tours abroad and taking their families abroad. Even our current acting prime minister before the elections, he did the same. You know, every single time he got tax money from us, he spent it lavishly on traveling abroad with his family. One should even ask our chief of army staff, you know, and other army personnel, on whose money are they making all these lavish travels? It's our money. Their stipend, their pay isn't that much. Even the judges, one should ask the judge of Supreme Court, Issa Faiz, how the hell did you travel all that way? On whose finances, on whose expense, you know, our expense, because your pay isn't that much, you know. You can't afford to go on luxury trips like that. In Imran Khan's time, we had 6% growth. We had 15% growth in large business sectors. Okay, we saw a rapid growth in construction projects, and our exports went up to $30 billion, which is right now, every single one of these things is right now on a heavy negative, right? After so many years, finally the agricultural sector was heard, you know, it was focused on, it was back on track with again a high percentage growth, you know, growth rate. And again, that has gone down again. So obviously, America had, you know, a bee in its bonnet. And obviously, America's mother was dying. You know, she was just gasping for breath because they just couldn't bear Pakistan going on a high note. Because then Pakistan would finally achieve what Qaid-e-Azam was trying to, and that was actual sovereignty, actual honest to God sovereignty, actual independence of our country. Which again, let me remind India that India isn't sovereign either. So India is extremely stupid. On what basis, by the way, do the Indian army personnel or the Indian journalists or the Indian government, on what basis do they think they have the right to talk about Pakistani army when the Indian army is right now committing atrocities in Kashmir with an illegal oppression and occupation in the exact same manner as Israel? So basically, Indian army was trained by the Israeli army on how to humiliate, dehumanize, and you know, and how to calculatively and sadistically kill, suppress, oppress a nation, right? Which they're doing in Kashmir. So, and the Indian government is so stupid that it actually is allowing America and Israel to work with it within its borders. And tomorrow, when they will finally achieve their goal of taking Kashmir out of even India's hands, they'll throw India out like a fly. Okay? So India should also be extremely careful. What happened to the big three, you know? Where did the big three go? They were rolling out the big three. What happened to that? Do you see anything constructive or major happening? Remember, India also is subject to whatever its white masters say, like it or not. So, yeah, I mean, now you have even, you know, as, remember all those people who kept yapping about how Imran Khan was rolling back the COVID scheme, the COVID, the CPEC scheme, the CPEC project. Well, care to discuss why the current government is rolling back the project? Why IMF has ordered the government not to put in any funds towards the CPEC project? I mean, I thought you all had a problem with Imran Khan saying that he was rolling it back. Imran Khan wasn't rolling it back. Imran Khan was fixing the shit that this very government made before it left on the CPEC scheme, in which they had given full authority to China. Why? Why should China have full authority? Why should China be the only stakeholder in this project? And so, in order to fix all of that, Imran Khan made other countries stakeholders, and Imran Khan gave the project to our army to overlook that project. So, explain to me again, who was rolling back the CPEC and who is rolling it back now? You know, I mean, it was bad enough that the IMF had already forced us to remove subsidy from our subsidized items that were supposed to. We have subsidized items for the northern areas and all because Punjab is the main producer of wheat and the main distributor. And we distribute throughout Pakistan. And that is why it's a subsidized item, you know. Even sugar, because again, we are export, at least we were, I don't know about now, we were exporters of sugar. We were exporters, we are distributors of sugar. So this also comes into a subsidized item. And suddenly, IMF says no more subsidies. Okay. So that again is harmful to our public. And then, and now, as if that wasn't enough, IMF is saying that we should put 100 rupee levy on petrol alone. And then to boot, no funds should be sent to the CPEC project. And now they're pretending to have a conscience. They knew every single thing when they were stealing our mandate. They stole our mandate in order to ensure that all these things are made easy for the American government to do. And now Khwaja Asif is pretending that he has our interest in his heart. Who are you fooling, man? And Nawaz Sharif, from the day he's come, we've been hearing that, oh, he's booked a ticket and he's taking a flight back. Oh, he's booked a ticket and he's... People have actually even given us flight numbers and ticket numbers, quoting that, oh, he's going and he's still here. When is the man leaving? No, seriously, when is the man leaving anyway? So, this is all I have to say for now. The rest is up to you all to think. Think about it, okay? Think about how America is just not going to leave us or anybody else alone until it wages its bloody war. And America is the biggest fool on earth, because this very war is going to be America's own destruction and Europe's, which is pretty much good for us in the long run, because this is the only way to attain world peace. But for now, the consequences, talk about the Great Depression. They're bringing in the Great Depression before the war. Imagine what's going to happen during the war and after. And this is me signing out. Khuda Hafiz.